Brother Percy from Mobile, Alabama. That's a church down there that he always rushes back to late on Saturday night to be there on Sunday morning. We're awful glad to have you here, Percy.
Here, a lot more. This is for you. I do have my tie. In my pocket. Jack, this is for you. Y'all turn to Psalm 90. This is for Jack. Y'all believe all scripture is given by inspiration of God?
Amen.
Well, I do too. I got a bad habit of believing God means what he said. In Psalms 90, verse 10, and I'm talking to some of you people in here, you're in a zone. Most all of you in a zone. But some of y'all are in a zone that really ain't got no time involved in it. In other words, you're living on borrowed time. And I don't know if y'all noticed this morning when I came in here, I had a camera. I took a picture of a bunch of you people. Some of y'all wasn't here then, so you missed out. But I took this picture. So next year, some of you may not be here. I'm looking around here now, and I can see in my mind's eye people that were here last year that are not here this year. They've gone home. They have flew away. Now, I want to talk to y'all just a minute here this morning about salvation, but first I want to read Psalms 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70. I think that's 70, ain't it? And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I'm looking forward to flying away. I'm like Brother Brian Sykes always says, I want to go by the Undertaker, not the Undertaker. I'll never forget the first time I heard that in Harmony, North Carolina. That stuck with me. If y'all would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians. I appreciate the opportunity to fellowship with y'all. The first time I've seen some of y'all since last year, and some of you I ain't seen in 15, 16 years. And I'm glad to see y'all. Glad to see you. I'm glad to be anywhere. But in love. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are competent and willing. Now listen, this ain't a hoax. This is something I know. I have a competence. We are competent, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In other words, what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Well, beloved, you can't get to God where in this body that you're here in this morning. You're going to put off this body someday. And if you're above 70 years old like I am, you're in a flyaway zone. And I don't even like to fly. When I was in the Marines, I had the opportunity. Well, I reckon it was an opportunity. I didn't have no choice. But I flew in a flying boxcar, if any of y'all remember what them things were. I don't remember the name and number of them. All I know was a flying boxcar. And we sitting out there on that runway, and we backed in that cargo thing. This ain't no passenger plane. This is a cargo plane. And I'm looking out there and them wings as they do in this here. Them engines are revving up and you can't hear them. I'm looking at the walls. The walls are doing this around the rivets. And I'm saying, we fixing to get off the ground in this thing and fly. One of them Air Force fellas come by and I said, hey, I said, this thing's coming apart. I said, you rip it loose. He said, if they wasn't, it would come apart. So I just had to trust it. So the Lord knows I don't like to fly, so he's going to take care of that when I leave this world. I ain't got no choice. I know where I'm going. Do you have that confidence? Do you have the confidence? Listen to me. Don't play no games with God. God knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows if you're concentrating on what these preachers have been telling you this weekend or not. He knows if your mind is somewhere down the road. And I know mine used to do that one, and it still does now because I can't control it. I've got so old it's leaving me. But when I was a kid in Sunday school, my mind was down there in the swamps and Dog Road. I wasn't paying no attention to my Sunday school teacher. And I wish to the good Lord I could go back and start over, but I can't. I may be talking to somebody in here, that's your condition. You're going to wait till it's too late to start over. I used to teach a Sunday school class at Forest Park Bible Church for years. And I used to tell them children, and these are teenage kids, I'm telling them, I said, listen, put the Word of God in your mind while you're young. Don't wait till you get old. I said, it's easier to put it in there now, and it'll be there. I said, you can remember it a whole lot easier. I said, when you get old like me, I read something, and 5 minutes later, I said, you know, did I read that? I have to go back and start all over. But I have to do that now because of age. And I can't do nothing about that. But do you have the confidence that Paul said here? Look at verse 8 again. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Well, can you change what you are? I can't change what I am. Now, you're looking at a sore, low-down person. You're looking at the sore thing in this building. It ain't the floors or the walls of y'all. You're looking at the sore thing. I told somebody this morning, they was talking about how I looked, and I said, well, I bought an electric razor so I wouldn't have to look at myself in the mirror when I shave. I know what I am. I know how sore I am. I know what I'm capable of doing, so I know what you're capable of doing, and I know that I do have a Savior, though.
Amen.
And by trusting Jesus Christ, when I was in the United States Marine Corps in Camp Lejeune, I know when I trusted Him as my Savior, my problems was over with. Now, I didn't recognize all my problems was gone. They're still here. God forgot to take my want to away from me. He just overlooked that part of it, and He left me with some want to's that I ought not to be a doing, and I try to control them, but I can't change what I am. I'm a sore, low down sinner. And every time I think about that, I can see a red headed man. I don't know if any of y'all watch cowboy movies or not. I do. Y'all ever watch Hang 'em High? There's, I think, five men on the thing up there fixing to hang, and this old red-headed dude, he's up there, and he's confessing all of this problem, and they're putting the ropes on these others over there. He's trying to talk as long as he can to keep that rope off his neck. And he said, you're looking at a sinner that ain't got no more reason to lie because he's fixing to meet his maker today. What about you? Are you ready to meet your maker? Are you? Are you confident that if you died right now, that you wake up with the Lord? Do you? You know, that's the hardest thing I have to do, is to preach somebody's funeral that nobody knows whether they're saved or not. That is a hard job to do. I had to preach my dad's funeral. 3 months later, I preached my mom's funeral. Didn't have a bit of problem with it. It's just so nice. Now, it ain't that I don't miss them. But I knew both of them were saved. I knew they had a testimony of salvation. I knew where they were headed. And I knew they was okay. And I was okay with it. Because they had a confidence that I had. And I know that this corruptible has got to put on incorruption, and I can't change this old corruptible dude that I am. Only the Lord can. In Philippians chapter 3, you can turn there if you want to. Our conversation is in heaven, from which we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly body, that it may be fashioned like in His glorious body. I'm ashamed of y'all. Y'all sore as I am. Y'all sit right there and let me put a word in there that ain't in Philippians chapter 3. And you didn't grunt. You didn't listen, this ain't open. You can talk if you want to me. What does the word say in Philippians chapter 3?
Our
vile body. I appreciate Brother Robin's message last night about this King James Bible. If you ain't got a King James Bible, there's several garbage cans around here. That's where it ought to be if it ain't a... I'm not talking about the new King James either. I'm talking about the authorized 1611 King James Bible. If you don't have that, you got a piece of trash in your hand. And you may not like me, but I can't help that. I don't have to answer to you. I got to answer to my Savior. Not you. Now, if you're sitting here with a new King James, which a lot of people have gone to now, the first thing they did, they said it's authorized. Are y'all getting the picture? King James, when did he authorize this book? 1611. And you reckon he's still somewhere around here authorizing a new translation? Let me show you something about this verse right here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Beloved, He's got me a body prepared. It's already up there. Amen. It's waiting on me right now. And I'm desiring to go there. Maybe. And I understand what Jack said last night. He wants to stay here till everybody gets saved. But bless God, based on God's foreknowledge, everybody ain't going to get saved. When the last member fills up God's righteousness in His body, which we are His righteousness, when the last person that'll hear the gospel of Christ based on God's foreknowledge will trust Christ as their personal Savior, then the body's full. They ain't no need for us to be here.
Amen.
God is just, and I almost want to say, chomping its bits, wanting to deal with Israel in the tribulation, and He can't do that while we're here. I don't care what Hagee says. Hagee's got us over yonder in the tribulation trying to bless the seed of Abraham before it's time to do so. That time's over with. Are y'all listening?
Amen.
What did the verse say? Verse 21. Change our vile body. Well, all of your new translations change that word vile to lowly. Well, I'm a lonely, sorry, low down person. But do you live in a vile body?
Amen.
Do you know why Jesus Christ died?
Amen.
He died because of me. What about you? Did He die because of you?
Amen.
Well, did He die for you? Do you believe that? No problem then, have you? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And when I read this verse, I have to think about King David. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 24, King David numbered Israel. God moved Satan against him to cause him to do this, and it displeased the Lord. And the Lord sent Gad to David. Gad was David's seer. He said, tell old David, you've got three choices. You can have time with your enemies, they can pursue you. You can have 7 years of famine, or you can have 3 days from the Lord. You know what Samuel chose? 3 days from the Lord. You know why? Back then, Samuel, 2 Samuel 24, David said, the Lord is plenty of mercy. He's got plenty of mercy. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now verse 4. But God, thank God for the buts in Paul the cookie. But now, look what he says. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. And half, that word half is past tense. You know, I didn't learn too much in school about English. Back when I went to high school, we were so dumb in English, in history, they took two classes and made one out of it and called it core. Well, I never did know what that meant, but I sure was glad I was in it. So we didn't have to worry about the tale of two cities and all that kind of stuff. In history, we just breezed through the thing, you know, just playing around. But, what did he say here? Look at it. Verse 6. And half, I do know what half means, it's past tense. In other words, before I was ever born, in AD 33, when Jesus Christ was crucified, I was resurrected with him based on God's foreknowledge, knowing that I would trust Christ as my personal Savior. And if you have, he knew that before the foundation of the world, and you were raised together with him at Calvary. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I am now a new creature. Don't I look new? No, I'm still in a vile body. The new creature is in Christ. You understand? That's a spiritual term, a new creature in Christ. I ain't born again. I ain't died and been resurrected yet. I ain't born again. I'm a new creature in Christ. Why? Because Christ loved me just like I was. Not after I repented of my sin. I still got some I ain't even thought about yet. I was at Brother Roy Lange's wake. Brother Roy died back this past November. And there was a famous preacher out of Chicago, whatever. I won't tell you where exactly you might know him. He was standing there, and I was talking to him. There was a couple of friends of mine I grew up with then at Forest Park Bible Church. We was there before Brother Roy and got there in 1951. And I was talking to him about, you know how you do when you get around people. You go back in your, especially when this old folks gets old, we go back in our childhood days a whole lot. Try to remember how it used to be. And we was talking about things that we did, things we got caught doing, got in trouble for. And this one fellow from up Chicago, he's looking at this other preacher over there that I knew him when he used to chase cars with, like his dog. Him and his dog would lay under the porch and the car would come by and he'd run out there with that dog and barking at the car like and I won't call his name. Some of y'all know him real well. And we was talking about things we had done, and this fellow from Chicago said, "Person's over there confessing all the sins." And I said, "Oh, wait a minute, I ain't confessing my sin." I said, "Jesus Christ died for all that." I said, "He paid for all that." I said, "We just telling you how sorry we used to be and how sorry we still are." But this character, he's my cousin. He don't have none of them problems. He was a good little boy. He still is, but he's all wet. Look what he says here. Let's read on, verse 7. "That in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." He ain't gonna show nothing through me. It's through Christ. Why? Him dying for an old low-down scummy bum like me that doesn't deserve anything. And you know right now this morning, there are probably people out there fishing that's probably cussing God because they ain't getting enough of bites. But do you know what Jesus Christ died for them too? He died for anybody you see. Regardless of what color they are, what race they are, what nationality they are, it makes no difference to God Almighty. God would have all men to be saved, comma, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Salvation is first. You don't learn right division to get saved. You get saved by the foolishness of preaching. And that was committed to the Apostle Paul. And Paul guaranteed you that he didn't get it from one of them 12.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't get it from the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. He got it from a heavenly vision. Do y'all realize that Paul could not have been saved under the gospel that the 12 preached?
Amen.
Paul was a blessing. That ought to tell you something. There ain't nobody that God can't save today. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Any of y'all know what Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says? I don't see nary hand going. Turn to Numbers chapter 23. And it's right after Leviticus. Numbers chapter 23. This is why I believe the book means what it says. But this verse I'm fixing to read to you right now. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Beloved, if you will turn to Romans chapter 10, and I ain't taking you down no Roman road, I'm just showing you what the Bible says. "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent." If God told you something, you can bank on it. If he told you someday, if you will trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believing that he died for your sins, he will change your vile body.
Amen.
Quit doing what you do, but don't get my tongue flat again. It gets twisted. Don't keep on trying to change the flesh. You can't change it. It's a vile flesh, and you can't get in the presence of God. What if you could change it? I'm looking at some of you fellows in here. Y'all ain't got no hair left. Bunch of us. You can't even add one little hair to your body. Now you can buy some hair in a spray can. Where did I tell y'all to go? See, I know a lot from that. Did I tell y'all to go anywhere? Romans 8. Chapter 10, I'll follow it up. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Now listen, he ain't saying if you confess your sins. You see sins in there anywhere? He's already took care of the sin issue in the first 7 chapters. This is done with. Don't even worry about them. They gone. God don't want to hear about them. His son paid for them. Jesus Christ became our sin. God made it that way. And you can't change what God did. So the confession is, look what he says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Did he say you'd be saved? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now listen, this is contrary to what Peter preached. Peter didn't preach people were saved right then. I'm going to show you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. You understand? Are saved. Now there's a little more to it than this. Look at it. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. And I believe there are millions of vain believers in this world. And I don't know what denominational any of you are in here. I don't care. But there ain't too many denominational systems that don't believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again the third day. But there ain't none that believe in that for their salvation. They believe you got to repent for remission of sins. I was watching old Pat Robbins. That's the pillar. Longest running preacher on television right now. You know what he told them people they had to do? Had to repent of their sins and ask Jesus to come into their heart. I don't remember which preacher it was that read Jeremiah chapter 17, but the hearts of the people and desperately wicked. Your heart is even as bad as your flesh. God's going to change your vital body. Man, I know he is. You know why I know he is? He told me he was. God talks to me all the time.
Amen.
God don't talk to y'all. Listen, beloved, if you're reading your Bible and you're reading words, whose words are you reading? Robin made that clear. You're reading God's words, and listen, I'm preaching. Somebody asked me if I was going to preach to them. I said, no, I'm preaching to me. But I didn't come to hear me. I don't like to hear me. I don't record my voice. I don't like to listen to the thing. I come to be preached at. I come to have the preacher preach to me. Because I know what it's done for me when I learn the truth of right division. I sat in the Grace Church, and I'm talking about the Grace Church, all my life, and did not know what 2 Timothy 2:15 really meant. I thought it meant just dividing Paul's epistles out of the Bible. Well, there's more to it than that. I know what right division is now. It's the gospel of my salvation.
Amen.
It has to do with my salvation. Outside of me having to bless the seed of Abraham. You know why? Abraham's seed ain't around. When I was born, Abraham's seed was low Amnon. God's children were low Amnon. There wasn't none of them for me to bless. Now, I used to go down on Lower Dalton Street and bless some of them, but it wasn't. It's not permissible from the pulpit. Did Paul say here in verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain? How many vain believers are in here this morning? Come on now. If you're a vain believer, hold your hand up. Don't lie to God. He knows your heart anyhow. If you're sitting here and you've heard the gospel of Christ, you believe Jesus Christ died at Calvary, you believe he was resurrected the third day, and you believe he ascended up on high, and he's the virgin-born Son of Almighty God, all of that, and yet you ain't never trusted him as your personal Savior, believing that he died for all your sins, then you're a vain believer. You know where vain believers are going to wind up? In hell. You know who the Holy Spirit baptizes into the church, the body of Christ? Believers. Not partially believers. Well, you know, you go over there and get a cup of coffee, and somebody says, well, better watch it, this stuff's hot. Well, I don't really believe that. Wow. And I think about, every time I think about a cup of hot coffee, I think about that woman that sued McDonald's. Drove up to the drive up and got a cup of hot, hey, well, I don't want a cold coffee, I want hot coffee. And poured it on her lap and sued McDonald's. Well, you did, it was hot. Oh, I'm just going to burn. Look what Peter says. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Verse 19. Acts 3 verse 19. This is Peter preaching to Israel. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Yeah. Thank you, whoever that was. The whole place should have, oh, wait a minute, man, you are wrong. Just because I'm a preacher don't mean I don't make mistakes. Take the book, like the man said, take the book and see if this is so. Is that what Peter said? That's what the NIV and the New King James says. You know what that does when you change the word win to so? It puts it in your ball game. If all of my people that are called by my name, y'all know the verse, 2 Chronicles, if all of my people that are called by my name would repent, I would come and heal their land. Well, brother, we need to get on with it. If that's the case. Now, let's read the verse like it's written. Chapter 3, verse 19, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That ain't what Paul told you in 1 Corinthians. He said, by which you are saved. Sins are gone. They're over with. When will this happen? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Look at the next verse. And he, the Lord, will send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You know, I got a problem with that, if that's to me. Y'all know what my problem is in that? There's one little word in there that throws me a curve. Maybe you ain't never paid no attention to it, but I do. There's a word in there that says, in the last verse, 21 there, since. That ought to trigger something in your mind, if you're a Bible studier. If you ain't, let me show you. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I know Paul and didn't preach the same thing that Peter preached. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll get there in a minute. I'm old and I'm slow. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him since the foundation of the world. No. Before the foundation of the world. Beloved, Peter and them are looking for salvation at the second coming. So if anybody in here, if you do what most people do, do not ever again change Romans chapter 11 verse 5. Excuse me, chapter 5 verse 11. Y'all know what Romans chapter 5 verse 11 says? Well, let's go look at it. Let's go look at it. I don't want to misquote it. Verse 11, Romans chapter 5, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Israel has not received the atonement yet. Israel will not receive the atonement until the second coming, when God will take away their sins, and that is why God makes a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Why? So he can take away their sins. Did Peter know his sins would be took away someday? He sure did. He knew when it would happen too, didn't he? Don't put them 12 in the church, the body of Christ. Their doctrine ain't the same. God didn't want them in there. If God had wanted them in there, they'd have preached the same thing that Paul preached. Because the Holy Spirit won't put them in it. So don't you put them in it. I may be talking to somebody in here. I don't know all of you. You may put the 12 in the church, the body of Christ, like my ex-preacher used to try to do. But they won't fit. It won't go. It ain't compatible. It's not the same. God didn't intend for it to be. That's why he told us to study. You can read without studying. But you can't study without reading. Now, I used to read a whole lot, but I didn't study. But when I got to comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, then you're studying. And when I find out things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that I can't handle, I don't just pick the rug up and sweep them on the rug and say, well, we just won't bother with that. We don't understand it. God will tell us that someday, but right now we're just not going to do it. Why? You know, I get perturbed at people that go to churches and all they preach is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they never preach the truth of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Have you ever studied Luke chapter 6, verse 46? Let's go with it. John, friend, I can't get y'all stirred up somehow. I'm going to stir y'all up. I look at y'all like a big old red ant beard. You know what a little red ant bed is? I know everybody in the South knows what a red ant bed is. You can walk by that thing, it ain't gonna bother you. Next time you get a little closer, a little bit closer, next time you know you step on the side of that thing, if you don't get out of the way, you fix to get eat up. I'm gonna stir y'all up like a bunch of red ants. I went up to talking about red ants. I went up to a conference there in Selma one year. Gary Sanders conference over there. I reckon it was a conference. It had been raining. And I was fixing to have to preach. I was standing out on that sidewalk and I didn't know it. Then, you know, when red ants get on the water, they come to the top. They can't breathe on the water. Them red ants had got all in my britches. Jerry had a little old bathroom right in front corner there. I went on in there, a little old young'un down there. I said, boy, you gotta get out of here. Them red ants were doing the job on me. I got in there and had to take my britches off. I told myself, I said, you got to get rid of these ants. You can't get up on that podium up there and be a jittery, trying to kill ants and breathe. That was a trip. If I got y'all stirred up yet, I hope I have. If you get mad at me, I'll be sitting over here after a little bit. If the Lord don't take me out of here, I wish he'd take me. But I'll be sitting over there. If you get mad at me, come on, we'll talk about it. I don't know. Look in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Brother, if you studied Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there ain't no way you can do what God told them people to do. He didn't want you to do it. He didn't intend for you to do it. Next time, we got a hurricane down there coming toward Mobile anyway. I'm going to call some of you preachers that believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if there's any in here that do that. And I want you to come down there and say, peace. Still, like Jesus Christ did it, and he told these same 12 that people were trying to put in the church the body of Christ, he told them, the works that I do shall you do greater works than these. Jesus Christ still a stone. He walked on water. Peter walked on water. Peter raised the dead. You can't do it. Don't be playing games with it. Don't sweep it on the road where we don't understand it, so we just don't fool with it. No, get in the book, study. If you're not in a class somewhere, ask some of these preachers to start a class in your home. They'll be willing to do so. Get a class started in your home. May not be but two or three. I got a class on Tuesday night. You know how many people's there? Me, my wife, and daughter, and one other couple. Praise God for them. It ain't how many, it's the quality. People desire to know the truth. They will come if you have a class. Preach it to them. Like Paul said, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke with all authority. You know where the authority is? Ma'am? Amen. You know where our authority is at? It's in that 1611 King James Bible. If you ain't got a 1611 King James Bible, you might as well just hang it up. Or you're working for Satan just as hard as you can. You're reading his book. You're reading his translation. And God Almighty won't show you anything as long as you are. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, Ephesians says, whereby we are sealed until the day of redemption. I don't know if my time's up, but I think I'm going to quit.